And I just want to say good morning again, and today is a special day. It is a special day in the life of our church and a special day in the family that is gathered here before us today. With that said, I'd like you to say hi to John and Amy. John and Amy, could you please introduce us to who you have up here, your friends?
Sam and Jacob.
So welcome, Sam and Jacob. Good to see you guys today. Now, most importantly, John and Amy, can you let us know who this cute little one is you've brought before us today?
His name is Lane.
Lane. Right? Listen to all the oohs and ahs, right? Isn't he just so cute? Now, why this is a special day for us as a church and for them as a family is that they have brought little Lane Christopher Orsini before us to have him dedicated to the Lord. Now, child dedication is a way for us to remember that as a church body, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to affirm and to support John and Amy as parents as they try to raise little Lane to follow Jesus Christ. And child dedication is really a parent dedication. That's what I've talked about with John and Amy. It is a commitment that they are making as parents and that we are making as a church that we would raise little Lane Christopher in a way to set him up to one day choose Jesus Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. And in doing so, they and we follow the example of the Bible today to have a child dedicated. For even Jesus, on the eighth day of his birth, was taken to the temple by his parents to be dedicated to the Lord. Now, in a second, I'm going to ask some questions of these parents that they will respond to, confirming their understanding of their commitment to raise little Lane in the ways of the Lord and to provide him with opportunities to come to know Jesus Christ for himself personally. And then we, as a church, we will respond to a similar question, accepting our role in Lane's life. But first, I just want to let you know of little Lane, John and Amy say this. He is just such a blessing, more than we ever could have imagined he would be. And overall, they tell me that Lane is just a happy baby, and he especially, even at his young age, he's only almost 8 months old, he was born on April 21st of this year, but already at his young age, they have noticed that he loves music. In particular, he loves the worship music here on Sundays, just really taking it all in and smiling during it. And I say that to say this, through this dedication, we firmly believe that this is an important step in Lane's life. As we commit him to the Lord, and as we pray that his interest and his love for Jesus and the ways of Jesus would just continue to grow, like we're already seeing in him through the music. In fact, let me just let you know what his name means. First, the name Lane means long, narrow road. Long, narrow road. With that said, Matthew 7:14 says this, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." What that communicates to me, church, is that our prayer for Lane and our prayer for John and Amy, our prayers are so critical. So please be praying for them beyond today. And also what this says to me is our modeling of Christ is so important to little Lane and to his family. So let's take our commitment to that today seriously. And then his middle name, Christopher, you know what that means? It means bearer of Christ. It means messenger of Christ. So today we pray and we trust that as little Lane Christopher grows, he will live out the Great Commission, which we read of in Matthew 28:19, which says this, "Go, therefore," said Jesus, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." With that, John and Amy, are you prepared to respond to the questions of dedication this morning?
Yes.
Great. First, do you, John and Amy, acknowledge that your child, Lane Christopher Orsini, is a gift from God, and do you commit to loving him unconditionally? Amen. Second, is it your desire, John and Amy, for your child to love God by following Jesus Christ? And do you understand that you as his parents are and will be the primary influence an example of Christ to him. Amen. Third, as Lane's parents, do you, John and Amy, agree that you will partner with God's family, called the church, and commit to regular involvement in the community life of the church? Amen. Now, church, I turn to you. And first, let me read this, which indicates how important children were and are to Jesus. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13, says this. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Truly, I tell you, Jesus continued, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms. He placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. So, church, I'm going to ask you to stand if you could and would. And we are going to respond accordingly to the following. We're going to respond with "we will." We, as the family of believers, understand and accept the importance Jesus places upon children, for they are the future bearers of the message of Christ. And so based on that, I ask you, church, do you agree, and will you accept, and will you model to little Lane Christopher Orsini a life that follows Christ? And will you, from time to time, pray for him and for his parents, John and Amy? And will you and I, will we be resources for Lane and for John and Amy in raising Lane toward Christ as opportunities to do so arise? We will. John and Amy, could I please have little Lane for a second? Oop, let me put this on. Hi, buddy. He is such a good little guy. Lane Christopher Orsini, I dedicate you to the Lord in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray Matthew 5:16 over Lane that as he grows up, your light will shine brightly through him. May many see his good works and through that glorify you, God, in heaven. And Lord, I do pray for John and Amy, Lane's parents. And I do pray for us as a church that we will be prayer warriors for little Lane Christopher Orsini. And that we will be models of Christ as we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and as we model what a relationship with Jesus looks like. So I pray, Lord, for strength for John and Amy as they raise him. And I pray, Lord, for our commitment as a church and as a family of believers that we will model well to little Lane. It's through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Let's give God some praise for a second. Amen, guys. Amen. You may all be seated.
We are Jerry and Linda Ward from the Bayview campus. Our scripture reading on this Sunday is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. And we rejoice in all that he has accomplished for us. We pray, O God, that throughout this Advent season, we will worship you in spirit and in truth, and be thrilled again by the vision of your coming to us with your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. You know, it's so good to be here. And I was thinking as I was sitting in the front row, since I've become lead pastor, which is still bizarre to say, but I've been to this campus more than any other so far. So there's something cool about being here. It's just a lot of fun. I love the energy and worship and clapping between songs, and I know where some of that energy comes from, but it's just so good to see it just throughout the entire congregation, and it's such a joy to be here. If you don't know me, please say hello afterwards. My name is Paul Gartley, and you know, I've been at Revive, Watermark, Wesleyan Church of Hamburg, whatever our name's been over the last years. I've been here for 22 years, so I've seen a lot, I've experienced a lot, and to be here with you today is such a special thing for me. I need to start by acknowledging something that I think we're all feeling right now. And if you're not, I think you are, actually. The weight of our world right now and all that's going on around and the sickness and all of that is pretty heavy. You know, in mine and my family's lives, we know more people who are sick or in the hospital with COVID than we've known through this entire thing. And we have good friends who are actually in the hospital who are, you know, just hanging on right now. And I'm sure we all feel that. So this is what I ask, that in the next few moments, that we leave everything that's happening in our worlds off to the side. That everything and everything that's swirling around in your head, maybe what you need to do this afternoon, maybe what you need to do tomorrow or Tuesday or the next day or the next day, you just sort of let that all fade away. And we have an opportunity right now to meet with God, to hear from God. As we're talking about the songs and scripture that surrounded the birth of Jesus, that we get lost in the music. Last Friday night, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Houghton College for their Christmas concert called Prism. Now, I didn't want to go. It's a long drive, and if my daughter wasn't there, I probably wouldn't have gone. Do you ever have those things where you go, you don't want to go, but you do it anyway? Anyone ever do that? I seem to do it more often than not. So we get there, and I'm sort of grumpy. I'll just be honest. And I love my daughter, but I was sort of grumpy. It was a long ride. It was late on a Friday night. But then we got into the concert, and it was wonderful. But why was it wonderful? Because the music was playing, and as the music was playing, and they were singing, and as they were performing, everything else seemed to fade away. And there's something powerful in music. As we sing in worship, I bet most of you like Christmas music. There's a couple who don't. But in your car, it's likely that right now when you get in your car, you turn on the Christmas music and you get lost in the season. You get lost in the birth of our Savior. And that's what I hope happens in this next few moments, that you get lost in the birth of our Savior. As we remember, as we talk, and we're going to talk today about a person you may or may not have heard about. His name is Simeon. As we talk about Simeon and his song, that you're lost in the emotion of the moment and all that's happening in and around Simeon. You see, in Christmas, like I said, we've decided to focus on four songs that appear in and around the birth story. The first week we spoke about Zechariah. Zechariah was John the Baptist's father, and if you remember the story, and I just love the story, he doubted when he was told that they were going to have a son when he was serving, and he couldn't speak for 9 months. Now, some of you would love if your husband couldn't speak for the next 9 months. My wife might appreciate that. But then when his son was born, he wrote his name on the tablet, and suddenly he burst out in song, praising God. Speaking of the incredible things that Jesus would did, and then talking to his son John and saying, "My son, you are going to pave the way for the Savior." He burst out in song. And then last week we spoke about Mary, and you know Mary's story, but it was incredible. When she went to visit John's mother, Elizabeth, her cousin, when she went to visit her, all of a sudden there was great joy in Elizabeth's heart. And then John, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, it said, flipped over because he was full of joy because he heard Mary's voice. And then Mary burst out into song. singing about Jesus and him being the Savior and the wonderful things he was going to do. And today the song we're going to look at actually takes place after Jesus' birth, after he comes into the world. But like I said, we're going to look at a stranger today. Somebody Mary and Joseph probably never met. Somebody they met for the first day and the first time in the temple as they were bringing their baby to be dedicated. And he breaks out in song. But let me pick up the story. And it's some of what was in the Advent reading, but let me pick it up in Luke chapter 2. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he went. He was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And two, offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two pigeons. So here we see Mary and Joseph. And imagine the joy that's welling up in Mary's heart. The baby was conceived of the Holy Spirit. She was told he was going to be the Messiah. And here they are bringing him to the temple, bringing him to the place where every baby would go to be every firstborn son would go to be consecrated. And there's three rituals that are happening here. The first is circumcision. Every Jewish boy on the eighth day of his life would be circumcised. Now, I have to share this because my son isn't here and it's a great story. It's sort of weird when you start son and circumcision in the same sentence. But I remember the day my son was circumcised. How do you remember that? I remember the doctor coming into our room in the hospital. And he was the most prideful doctor I think I'd ever seen. Because he came up, he sort of strutted into our room, and he said, "You know what? I'm the best at doing this. Your son's going to have the best circumcision in the whole hospital." And I just remember seeing with my wife and saying, "Do we want to release our baby to this doctor? What is he going to do?" But every boy in Jewish culture was circumcised. It began with the covenant made with Abraham, and it was something that happened throughout their history. The second ritual we see is the consecration of the firstborn. Every child, every firstborn male, I should say, was brought to the temple to be set apart as holy, to be used for a special purpose, to be consecrated by the Lord. And Mary and Joseph, as I said, were offering sacrifices, two doves and two pigeons, as an offering, as a sacrifice for Jesus to be consecrated. This was a huge day. A huge day. And the third ritual we see is the ritual of purification. In Leviticus, women are told that after 40 days after giving birth to a son, or after 66 days of giving birth to a daughter, they're to be purified. I guess 60 and 44, there's a big difference, but males, that's the custom. So Mary and Joseph brought Jesus at the right time, at the right place, to have all three of these rituals take place. These might seem ancient and unfamiliar to you and me. Why in the world would you offer a sacrifice for your son? But back in the Jewish culture, in this time, in this stage in the world, it's exactly what everybody did. It was a reminder that children are a gift from God. They're a gift from God. I remember the first time I held my first, and actually all three of them, and just staring in their faces and just sobbing. Because our children are a gift from God, and Jesus was the same, and we just saw it with little Lane. You guys view him as the best gift ever from God. Amen. And that's how Mary and Joseph viewed their son, viewed Jesus as a gift from God. When the crying happens and the dirty diapers happen and there's more crying and there's more dirty diapers, you have to remember that in those moments, your children are a gift from God. Or when your kids are in middle school and high school and going through all the trials and tribulations and everything that happens, or they're in college or beyond, and you really don't like them sometimes. Your children are a gift from God. No matter what's going on in their lives, no matter what's going on in our lives, our kids are a gift from God. And we saw that in Little Lane's dedication a moment ago as they stepped back into history and gave the same gratitude that Mary and Joseph would have given for their newborn son. It feels like a baby shower almost that Mary and Joseph are engaging in, all the emotion, all that's happening, the sacrifices. And then they have this encounter with the most unusual person. In the next few verses, in Luke 2, 25 through 28. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Here's this guy. It doesn't say necessarily how old he is, but I imagine he was up there in his years a bit. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom had required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Here's this stranger, this older man, grabbing their son. Imagine that, grabbing their son and starts praising God. Sovereign Lord, you have promised, and now you dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. This older gentleman picks up this boy, the Christ, and just starts praising him, just starts singing over him. In the arms of this old man, it's this most incredible moment. If I ever had walked into church and there was somebody I didn't know who grabbed my child and started singing over him, I would have thought something was wrong. Something wouldn't have seemed quite right, but in this moment and what's happening, Simeon is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he starts prophesying and singing over this child, over Jesus. And again, listen to the words of his song. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen what we've all been waiting for. My eyes have seen this child who will change everything. When you have prepared in the sight of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles, what he's saying is not only for the Jewish people, but for the whole world. The child I am holding right now is a gift to the entire world. All people, all generations, for all days. He's a gift to the entire world, to all Gentiles. And your glory for your people Israel, not only for the Gentiles, but for the people of Israel, who I am holding. He could have said, the Holy Spirit has told me that this child will be a gift for everyone, for their salvation. And now, because I've seen him, I can die. I can go. Because this child is what the world has been waiting for generation after generation after generation. He continues in verse 33. It continues, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. If somebody had said that to one of my children, I would have been floored. But here's this older man prophesying over this baby, saying that he's going to be a blessing for the Gentiles and the Jews, for all generations, to bring glory. They were marveled at what he said about them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. And this is where the story turns. This is where it turns. The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts in many evil. There's no light up here. Does anybody have a flashlight? So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. That's not what they came to hear that day. They didn't come to hear that their son was going to be a dividing factor in all of history. They didn't come to hear, it said that a sword would pierce your own soul. They didn't come to hear that he will be spoken against because of what he says and what he does. In Zechariah's song, we had a song of hope. In Mary's song, we had a song of surrender and wonder. In Simeon's song, we have a song of warning. Of warning. The other songs were happy and upbeat. Simeon's song brings the mood way down. For new parents holding their first son to all of a sudden hear that he's going to be spoken against, that many in Israel will speak against him for what he says and what he does, I can't imagine what gripped their hearts in that moment. They were just coming to dedicate their son. And all of a sudden, this is prophesied over him. It's not happy and upbeat. It's sort of slow and heavy. Sometimes we see the baby Jesus and we get all excited at Christmas and we get all excited about the things that are to come, but we forget the Sermon on the Mount. We forget how he divided people and said, some, you better do it this way or else this will be coming towards you. We love the baby Jesus. But sometimes when we picture what he said and what he taught and how he interceded in people's lives and how he separated and said, this is not for you to do, you need to be thinking this way, people ran and left him from the hard things he taught. We love to embrace Jesus at Christmas, but what happens when it gets hard to read your Bible and to embrace what Jesus says? Mary and Joseph are getting a glimpse of that right here. That some will come against him for the things he did, the things he says, the ways he lives in the world. Some will come against him and not appreciate it. When you see the baby Jesus, you don't see any demands. You don't see any hard teachings. But he is the tipping point of human history. Everything changed in these moments when Jesus was born. The whole world was flipped upside down. All of Israel was waiting for a mighty Messiah to come and to change everything. And instead they got a baby. They didn't get a military leader, they got a suffering servant. And in this moment, it's our opportunity to embrace the Jesus that we received and to say, he is our Lord and Savior. This Christmas season, my goodness, what an opportunity to say, this is such a gift. This child is the best gift ever, and you embrace that gift and you say, now I can live in peace knowing that I have accepted Jesus as my own, that I am following him with all of my heart, that I am following and tracking with him in all that I do. Mary and Joseph had to pause in that moment. They had to pause because they just heard something that forever changed their lives, as if their lives hadn't been flipped upside down enough. And now all of a sudden they're told their baby is going to be a dividing factor in all of history. And for each of us, we have to decide, what are we going to do with Jesus? This Advent season is so much is going on in our world, and we have the opportunity, hopefully, to pause and to reflect and to think about the one baby who was born. What's your response to him? Simeon said, now I can die because I've experienced this child. I've seen him. I know he's here. Now I can leave this world. He was overjoyed knowing what was coming. And I guess for each of us, we've got to answer that question. Are we in the place in our hearts and our minds where we're overjoyed by this baby and all that's happening? Generations have waited for this child prior to this. Generations were waiting for this child to be born. And now all of a sudden he is. But what does the world do? What happens to the world at this moment when this child is born? History had waited for him. Simeon got to hold him and to celebrate him and to bless him. So I guess for you, this is my question. It's Christmas. It's 2021, a year that many of us sort of flew by. I can't believe it's December of 2021 already. It blows my mind that that's true. But here we are. And is this Christmas going to be different than any other, or is it going to be the same old that you've had ever since you remember Christmas? But maybe this year you say, just like Simeon, you see this child, you hold him in your arms, or at least you take him captive in your mind, and you say, okay, I'm going to trust you with my whole life. I'm going to follow you in your ways, in your commands. And yes, it might be easy at Christmas, but it gets harder as the year goes on. It gets harder to follow him and to believe in him. It gets harder to embrace him each and every day. But as followers of Jesus, what other option is there? I've spoken to many this year who have gone through unthinkable tragedy, and person after person has said, if I didn't have Jesus, I don't know what I would have done. Can you relate to that sentiment? Amen. So, Christmas of 2021, maybe this is a time for you to say, like Simeon, you can say, now I can move on. I know Jesus. I'm secure. I know where my faith lies. I know where my future lies. I know that the Savior has come, and I'm embracing him with all of my heart. Maybe this year is the year you can say that and embrace him in that way. Today we sing Simeon's song. We joined with a family who dedicated their child. We thanked God. We thanked God for his son who came, who forever changed everything. But maybe today you can thank God on a different level because he has changed everything for you. Because he's changed the way you look at the world and the things you do and the way you speak. Because he's changed your heart from the inside out and changed your whole perspective on life. Maybe today you can say, I am not ashamed of my Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the message that has been put in my heart that the world needs to know, and I'm willing to proclaim Jesus everywhere I go. Maybe instead of having that pain in your heart and dwelling in it, you understand it, you hand it over to God, and then you go and try help others to do the same. This holiday season, maybe you take our new mission statement seriously, where you begin to pursue the Father with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I've recommended that people read the birth narratives of Jesus through the Advent series, that they read and learn and see how this baby came and what he did. And then as you pursue the Father, your heart is ready to proclaim Jesus to the whole world. Just think of the people you're going to see this afternoon or tomorrow. You probably see similar people every day. How many of them need to know Jesus? How many of them need to hear and understand that there's a Savior that was born that forever changed everything? So this holiday season, pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and then participate with the Holy Spirit. See where he's working in the world and get involved. I heard stories how many of you were Christmas caroling last week, right? It was last week? Last week? Keith, what did people say about your Christmas caroling?
Well, from the director of the chamber, she said every business owner she ran into said, the Christmas carolers were just here. It was so great having them in our store.
It was received incredibly well. As many of you went out and Christmas caroled in town, I'm sure it brought the joy of the season up and people understood there was something else going on, and that's participating with the Holy Spirit where there's an opportunity jumping and being involved. Some people, like Simeon, need to hear and understand that there's a Savior so that their lives can be forever different, so their lives can be forever changed, and they can leave this world in peace knowing that they have accepted the one, the only one who matters. So that's my prayer for you guys. It's my prayer for all of Revive. That this Christmas season, we take our attention off of whatever we see in front of us, whatever things we think are important, what all the worries and the concerns and all the voices that are raging on in our culture, and you blank them all out and you say, now, I'm going to listen to the one who was born. And my attention will be focused on him and him alone. As you go in your car and you turn on the radio and you worship, as you turn on Christmas music or worship music, whatever you choose, and you get lost in the music and you remember the Savior, so that you can better represent him in the world, to be his bold witness, to proclaim Jesus wherever you go this Christmas season. Simeon was ready and he found the Savior. And I know there's many who are ready who need to hear about Jesus. God, we thank you for this time. And if the worship team could come up. And God, we thank you for this time where we can gather in your presence to learn, to look at Simeon's life, to understand that how this moment in his life, he all of a sudden had seen you and realized that it was time to move on. And Father, there's so many people in our world, just like Simeon actually, who are waiting to hear about you, who are waiting to experience you. And Father, I pray that you would use us to be that person who tells them, to be the people that tell them, to be your voice, to be your ambassador in the world, teaching wherever we go, sharing of the good things you've done, opening people's eyes, ears, and hearts to the beauty of the reality of who you are. Lord, I pray that you would use us to do more than we ever could hope or imagine. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.